it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, and away we go tonight on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorney, is going to work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. They are bringing soccer to you on the airwaves. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They will cover you no matter what type of accident you get in. Car, boat, motorcycle, you might work in a refinery. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered. Oh, we've got more than enough to talk about here tonight on the show. Call-in number, and you can call in throughout the show, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Remember, the podcasts always found now at ESPN975.com, Spotify, and iTunes. In our Austin show last night, we had Kakuta Mane of Austin FC, bold coach Marcelo Serrano. You can get that on the podcast at hornfm.com. A lot going on in Austin. By the way, Austin FC, and Aaron, I know you know the buzz that's going on with Austin FC up in Austin, Texas, because it is the first ever professional sports team they have there. So there's this real big movement going on now as far as supporters groups, a lot of organic things going on, brand new stadium, brand new training facility. They've signed a number of players. It's going to be very, very interesting in the state of Texas with Austin FC's entry into this now with the Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas. Anybody want to talk about that tonight? You can, 713-780-3776. But you've heard about it, right, Aaron? Austin FC breaking on the scene up there?
Yeah. I mean, as much as I pay attention to soccer news, but yeah, it sounds, my cousin lives there and said that a lot of people are really excited about having a professional team and having a soccer team to begin with.
Yeah, and I think there'll be some novelty in that as well. I mean, there are a lot of soccer fans up there, don't get me wrong, and Austin does have soccer history in the youth adult community, but including the legendary Wolfgang Sunholz. But there's also just, you know, a novelty sort of buy-in that, hey, there's a pro team. It represents us. We're all coming together. We're going to do a lot of organic, really cool things. They have all these supporters groups. You're tying in craft beer, you know, and it's going to be social as well, which all pro teams are these days. How social do you think the Houston Texans are when it comes to people that go to those games? How many are really hardcore NFL fans? How many of them are there for the social side of it, you know, the parking lot before the game and the tailgating and all that?
I'd say probably 55 to 60% are actually hardcore football fans who also really enjoy the social side. The other probably 40, 45 really are just there because their buddy has a tailgate pass and says, hey, come out and drink free beer and eat free barbecue and, you know, have fun and cause trouble.
Who was the guy who used to yell on the radio free? Was that Sam Malone? Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
Maybe before. Wasn't he the one who yelled free?
I don't know if he yelled free. I remember him yelling, see ya.
Okay, maybe I got that.
That's how he would end.
There was
every
one
show.
Guy that just said, well, there was one guy that used to just say that there's nothing better than free, you know? And anyway, I digress. All right, again, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Todd Ramos, the Houston Dynamo head coach. It's an interview you're not going to want to miss. We go deep with him on this show, like no other. So Todd Ramos will be on tonight. We're going to talk about a number of things with him, including, can you change players later in their career? Can you get them to adapt and do some things differently when consistently they're used to specific habits as players? I think this is a very interesting question for Tab. We'll talk to him about that. I am heading up to College Station tomorrow. I'm sure there's others from Houston. The Dynamo will take on Tulsa FC from the USL Championship in a game at the beautiful Aggie Field where the Texas A&M women's team under G. Guerrieri plays. So I'm going to take that drive up there tomorrow. I'm going to get there early, maybe hit some barbecue on the way, and then do a little homework for our TV games. We will do the Dynamo on the internet against FC Dallas preseason game, and that's 6 days before the opener on the 16th. Now, I don't know if Houston Dynamo fans are getting this, but the Dynamo against Earthquake game on that Friday the 16th, it is the opening game of the entire season. And we'll have the call here in Houston on Channel 55, Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself. And it'll also be on ESPN+. So Houston will be showing off and, you know, opening that door to the 2021 Major League Soccer season, and we're going to get to call it. So that's a fun little sideline, and I think the Dynamo players will know this now. The question is, will we get 30% in the stadium to show the stadium off as well as we can? And that remains, I would imagine that will happen because I think people just want to get back to stadiums, seeing sports, doing some things that are a little bit more normal, of course, cautiously, because it's not over yet. 713-780-3776. And I will just say personally, it affected my two 94-year-old parents here in the last 10 days. I've been very scattered the last couple of days. Not going to talk about it very much, but my mother was not expected to make it through the weekend, last weekend, and has had what is the most remarkable turnaround. Now, of course, not out of the woods, but oxygen level just shot way back up. It is a really weird virus. Meanwhile, my father's still at home. He's 94, he's got dementia, and he has not shown a single, he tested positive, but did not show a single, he's got no symptoms, nothing. You know, the guy eats brownies every day. I mean, that's his main thoroughfare when it comes to diet. It's incredible the amount of sugar he takes in, and he's a 94-year-old Marine World War veteran. Anyway, they're in the game. Okay, so we've got World Cup qualifying tomorrow starting in Europe. The United States men's national team will go to Austria and take on Jamaica on Thursday. Sunday, they will take on Northern Ireland. Now, this is a roster that's interesting. It only has three MLS players. Now, granted, these games are in Europe, but what does this tell you? Does this tell you the path to the national team now goes through Europe? Dare I say it? No, Major League Soccer wouldn't want that said. Remember how Jurgen Klinsmann used to lobby, I need more players in Europe, more players in Europe. Well, they're there now, and things are evolving. But is your path to the national team now through Europe? Not necessarily 100%, but this roster only has three players, including one of them, Daryl Dike, not Bright. That Bright's his brother. But Daryl Dike, who's at Barnsley doing amazing things, and who less than 2 years ago was playing for the University of Virginia in the ACC. So a lot of interesting things going on. Victor Ariza will be calling in here in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to him about an article he wrote for The Striker Texas, which is about Houston hosting the World Cup. He spoke with Chris Canetti. The criteria for hosting the World Cup is always kept very clandestine by FIFA. But we will talk about it because the city of Houston is looking to be one of the 10 finalists out of 17 candidates. So you got Dallas, Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, Cincinnati, Denver, Kansas City, L.A., Miami, Nashville, New York, Orlando, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Seattle, and Washington. Got to think Houston's in there. You have to. Cincinnati, we love you. Goodbye. Denver, we love you. Goodbye. Kansas City, I'm not sure. Got to think Miami, of course, LA, New York will get it. Seattle's got the massive crowds out there. They'll have to clean the streets up for that because that city's a bit of a mess right now. More than a bit of a mess. You think San Francisco would get it. One of the highest crime rates in the country. Philadelphia wants it. the Lincoln at the Link. New York, New Jersey certainly will get it. You know, I don't know. You never know with these things. I think there are a few that are very established there and certainly will be in the mix. Okay, Sergiño Dest, 2 goals this weekend and a 6-1 win over Real Sociedad. Real Sociedad, by the way, was 5th in La Liga. That's a big moment there for a player with ties to the U.S. national team. And we do have some Sergiño Dest sound. We'll run that in the show tonight. The U.S. under-23s into the semifinals of the CONCACAF Olympic qualifying tournament. 1-0 winners over Costa Rica. 4-0 over the Dominican Republic. Now, I watched both the games, and that is a lot of the very talented players from Major League Soccer. If we're being honest and we watched that game, the U.S. played good for about 25 minutes in the second, late in the second half against the Dominican Republic when the goals started raining in. So hopefully that may be the tipping point to move them forward in this tournament. They'll play Mexico in their final group game. But they're already in the semifinals. You got to win your semifinal game, and you will go to the Olympics. So there it is. All right, we bring on the great friend of the show, a great contributor to the show over the years. He is Victor Ariza, now writing for The Striker Texas, and did a really nice in-depth piece here on the World Cup 2026 bid with Chris Kennedy. As we know, it's Canada, the United States, and Mexico co-hosting. Victor, thank you for coming on.
No, anytime, Glenn.
All right, so what's the biggest thing you learned out of talking to Chris Kennedy when it comes to Houston and hosting the World Cup and winning the bid? Because we all know this is, I mean, this is the cherry on top of the cake if we get the World Cup here. What it can do for the city of Houston is off the charts. And he came out after the online visit with FIFA, and basically it was all around the stadium. What else did we learn?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing, obviously we're in the home stretch here, right? And from here on out to, I think, about September, they're going to have a monthly meeting. So what I've been trying to do over at the Striker is try to maybe catch up with him once a month. This will obviously be the first of those instances. And this time, you know, the big talk was about the stadium. We know it has to be grass surface. So the presentation they spoke about was, you know, how are they going to turn NRG, which obviously for the Texans uses artificial surface. They're going to have to use grass. The same turf crew that they use over at BVA Stadium, right, the Dynamo Stadium, is pretty much in charge of this subcommittee. Dan Bergstrom, I believe, is the gentleman
so,
in charge.
So let me stop you. Let me stop you right there, because over the years, we have known that that has been a real challenge at NRG, and that's a real challenge in any stadium. Is that something that's more of a tray-like situation? I don't think it can be done like that, right? Because they have to bring it in pieces of sod.
Yeah, well, there wasn't much to be shared, and there wasn't much feedback. So, you know, I think that I would imagine that's one of the things they spoke about. Obviously, a lot of this is very hush-hush and kept from the public, which is why, you know, we're trying to do as much as we can to try to, you know, get inside the trenches and try to find out what we can disseminate as far as information. But I would imagine all that stuff is considered. And, you know, obviously NRG has got the difference of being somewhat of an indoor stadium, right, whenever the roof is installed. But, I mean, I think overall the biggest thing that came out of this meeting is that Kennedy, who's obviously the president of this bid, one of the leaders of this bid, has expressed confidence in Houston getting and being one of the finalist cities, which I think – both well, because, well, listen, I think there's a lot of nervousness, right? Houston wasn't part of the 1994 World Cup. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and we hope, all of us here in Houston that are tied to the game, that the World Cup will come through here, that we don't have to go up to Dallas or down to Monterrey strictly, right, that we can have that party in town. And, I mean, so far, I mean, they seem to be confident about being able to be part of it.
Yeah, and that's... That's also the other byproduct of this is the amazing moments it'll provide for young soccer players who will go with their parents and will never forget this indelible moment. And it can lift the game competitively here in Houston. It can increase the awareness. It can actually, I think, even help us with mainstream media, because mainstream media will simply be able to attend World Cup games and really get an in-person flavor to this. So maybe there's a potential of actually boosting the mainstream media and maybe their adherence and respect even more for the game of soccer. I want to take you, and you mentioned it, FIFA is always very, very quiet on this. Houston feels like they're very confident in getting the bid. And one would think, Victor, that, you know, we hear in places like Seattle, oh, well, the attendances are great with MLS games. Well, the attendance hasn't been great for the Dynamo in local years. Certainly the international games blow it out of the water. So I would think that the MLS attendance doesn't factor as much in Houston. What do you say to that?
I think you're right. I think the international games speak for themselves. So one of the things, and I think this was in his closing statement when in this interview that I had with Kennedy, where he says, you know, when you think about it, anytime major soccer events have come to the United States, in that selection process, Houston always seems to be chosen, right? Obviously mentioning the Gold Cup, Copa America Centenario, the International Champions Cup, etc. He says, promoters know that Houston is a place where they can bring their event and have success. This is the message that we are definitely proud of and pushing on to FIFA as this process takes shape over the next 6 or 7 months. So, and obviously Houston was supposed to be part of the CONCACAF Nations League, which was going to be a doubleheader last year between the UVA and NRG. That got canceled, but it looks like we're going to have the Gold Cup coming in through this summer. That may be one of the events that can happen. And, you know, I asked him, too, what did he think about COVID, right? That this impacted the process positively, negatively. And I think he kind of leaned towards, you know, it was all neutral. It just, you know, postponed the process for a year. But I'll give you my opinion. I think this actually helped Houston, right? Because Kansas City, Atlanta even, cities that haven't had as many international events, they don't get to have international events and, you know, kind of impose a invisible deadline that Houston has already had all these events come through. And, you know, ultimately, I hope, and I think, well, I think we all hope that it'll be a finalist city. But the biggest thing, too, I think, and again, this is just my personal opinion, is a bit will come down to politics, right? Kansas City is probably one of the bigger competitors, I think, to Houston, because, like we know, up in Dallas, one of the Hunt brothers is part of that committee. The other Hunt brother, Clark Hunt, if I'm not mistaken, is part of the Kansas City bid. And then we know, obviously, Atlanta, like you said, Seattle, you know, the MLS cities have the attendance in there. So
the political side of it's a big side of it. And the Hunts are, I mean, from the beginning of soccer professionally in the United States, Lamar Hunt was there. We do know that Kansas City in the past has drawn close to 60,000 for a game with Manchester United. You know, I guess for all of us on the outside, we want every little bit of information we can get. And this last meeting, apparently with Chris, what he told me was strictly in and around stadium. I don't see how Houston doesn't get it, quite frankly. I mean, everything's here. It's the fourth largest city in America. It's a city full of soccer people. From every country in the world. It's as diverse as it comes. I just don't see how we don't get it here in Houston. And, you know, who knows? The geographical thing, Victor, works with Monterey, Houston, and Dallas, where people can move around and it's sort of regionalized amongst the three countries. That's a possibility, too. But, again, we don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, and obviously Dallas is not sitting on their laurels, right? Like, they have international, I believe it's the first international club-friendly back in the States. This weekend, Club America, Monterrey, the two Liga MX teams are facing off this Saturday in the Cotton Bowl, which is obviously socially distance-friendly. So they're obviously trying to get as much of an advantage on their bid. I don't know if it hurts them that they were part of the 94 World Cup and maybe won't get a second time, but, you know, that's the beauty of the striker too, right? I get to, follow up here in Houston, and we have John Arnold following up in Dallas. So for our readers, there's certainly, a lot to follow on that process, as well as all the local coverage.
All right, Victor, thanks very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate the update on Houston 2026 World Cup. We'll do it again. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back with Todd Ramos, the Houston Dynamo coach. This is a good interview. You're going to like what's in this. Look, if Houston doesn't get this, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, from so many standpoints, you know, you'll hear the corporate side of it. You'll hear the money that can be made. You'll hear all that. But what it can do from the soccer perspective for our city, it's hard to even kind of validate it because how deep it can take the game into the minds of young people here. But there's a lot to this stuff, a lot more than we know. And let's keep our fingers crossed. 2026. All right. 2020 World Cup is in 2022 World Cup is in Qatar. All right, we'll take a break. It's all presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit and his firm, presenting sponsors of this show on ESPN 97.5. You might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, construction. You get injured on the job. Call the Daspit Law Firm. You need representation. 713-222-HURT. Daspit Law Firm is going to bring you a personalized approach, and they'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Thank you, John Daspit. Thank you, Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Bilingual. And we are coming back with Todd Ramos. And by the way, he's bilingual. Next.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to John and his personal injury attorney firm for getting soccer on the airwaves. And as always, it's great to visit with the Houston Dynamo head coach. He's Tab Ramos. He joins us now. Tab, how are you?
Hi, how you doing, Glenn? Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's always good to have you on. Let me just lead you into something real basic here. Just give you a platform to talk about how you feel preseason is going so far.
Yeah, I think, thanks. Yeah, I think it's going fairly well. Obviously, as you know, as everyone knows, we have a lot of new players that need to start gelling together. You know, we felt like coming into this season that we added a lot of speed that we needed, obviously because of the departure of Albert in particular. And from the year before having Kyoto here. So I think that we're at a point now where we've replaced that speed and we added sort of a different style and we like where we are. We're giving a lot of players opportunities now and everybody's fighting for position.
So you've had a lot of roster turnover, you know, and I'm always interested to talk to someone with your coaching background. A player at this age in their career at the professional level, can you get them to change some of their habits to do things maybe the way you want in the context of a system?
You know, it's that's a great question. And I was talking to Caleb Porter about this. And he said in particular that, you know, for the most part, most guys will and some will not. And you just have to kind of deal with that, you know, and either move on or, you know, obviously you have to implement your best way to play and what you know best. And some guys are going to jump on board and some are not. And that's sort of the way it goes. But in general, to answer your question, that's kind of how that goes.
Todd Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, joining us here. They will take on tomorrow in College Station on the beautiful Texas A&M Aggie Field, Tulsa from the USL. They played this past weekend against the Austin Bold. How about some thoughts from getting some live competition against the Bold? And I know it was split up into 30-minute segments. Maybe your thoughts on that day.
Yeah, very good. I was happy with what I saw. We created a bunch of opportunities. You know, we showed the speed that we have where we're two passes away at any time from being on a breakaway on goal, which is a really good sign. Unfortunately, we didn't score, but I think the bright side overall is that we wanted to improve defensively. And in the 90 minutes, we only gave up one chance. And that was, I think, the 78th minute when we had already changed into a third group. So so I thought that was really positive, and I mentioned that to the team today.
How about the fact that right away you implement Tim Parker, you get him in, you obviously brought him here for a reason, and leadership's one of those reasons, and you've plugged him in right away and basically have told him he's the captain, correct?
Boney continues to be our captain because he's the leader of the team, but, you know, some of the times he's not on the field, and I think that certainly Tim can assume that responsibility, and I think that he is ready for it.
Yeah, if I confused the captain's role there, I apologize for that. But I do know you brought him here to truly be a leader. That's for sure.
No, for sure. But I mean, that's something that he earns every day on the field. He's a talker. He's a very good communicator in the back. He demands high standards from everybody, and I think that's all the great signs of a captain.
Tab, what changes week to week with your staff as far as, you know, as you're looking and you're gearing up towards the first game of the season? I'm sure you don't want to be hitting all cylinders on April 16th, but you want to be closer for sure. What kind of changes week by week now since you've gotten a couple weeks behind you in preseason?
Well, I think at this point what changes is giving the guys that you think are going to be the bigger part of the picture more and more minutes every week. Unfortunately, you know, we're a little bit low in the center back position now as far as numbers. Alejandro tweaked his hamstring a little bit. Ethan Bartlow tweaked his hamstring a little bit. Miner is gone on national team duty. So we're down three center backs at this point. That's kind of difficult for where we are in the preseason.
If you looked at the lines of your team, where I know they're all competitive, but where would you say, whether it's goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, strikers, which line right now looks the most competitive to you as far as making it difficult for you to kind of begin to crystallize your decisions as to who's going to maybe get the bulk of the minutes?
I think the middle of the field. You know, I think when I look at, you know, the addition of Derek Jones and the addition of Joe Corona to already having Soren, Matias, and Memo, and the fact that I know that I can only play three of those five, that makes it difficult. And then you add some of the younger guys that I'd like to give an opportunity to who are at the moment doing really well, or you can drop a guy like Urruti into midfield at times. I mean, so, if, you know, we have a real strong competition for those three spots in the center of the field.
Now, I know in prior interviews we've done, you said that Darwin Quintero likely would be in a more central role as opposed to starting on the left. Is that still remain the same? Could that change? I mean, obviously, I guess it could change based on injuries and different things, but is that still where you want to kind of play him as somebody behind a striker?
I think that's the best possibility at this point. So there's a possibility that we could play with two defensive midfielders and throw him as more of a 10 with the three guys up top. And whether you can call that, you know, a 4-2-3-1 or, you know, a 4-3-3, you know, doesn't really matter. He could also still play on the left side. Like now we have, you know, Ari is gone with the national team. So I think we free up a spot on the left side. So potentially he could play on the left as well because he did that all of last year. So, yeah, there's a number of opportunities. The bottom line is I think we have a lot of competition for those spots up top too. And it'll be tough. It'll be tough for guys, you know, to get in the lineup.
So every day is an opportunity to impress the coach. And I'm sure I know you instill that in your players. Tomorrow you go to College Station, you take on Tulsa. Any thoughts on this second game now and maybe some other people getting some opportunity in this game?
Yeah, I mean, it is exactly what you said. I think, you know, you earn the opportunities in practice and then we confirm that in the games. So I think, you know, as you see us get through the preseason, there's really no secrets with us. You know, it's, you know, the guys that continue to earn more time every day are the guys that are going to get more time in the end. And that's basically how it's going to work.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, joining us ahead of tomorrow's game in College Station. That is open to the public. They will take on USL Tulsa, return on Sunday to take on Louisville FC. You did give some opportunity against the Austin Bowl to some young academy players and some of your younger signings. And boy, that's gotten a lot of reaction because it's something people haven't seen here under any other previous regimes when it comes to managers, providing that link to the young players. You don't seem hesitant at all.
No, I mean, I'm not really trying to win any awards by connecting our first team to the academy. I mean, these are players. I mean, I think, you know, you had the opportunity to watch them. And I think when you put them on the field and you see that they can maintain a certain level and they can do certain things that can help the team, I think that's what I look at, you know. So if they're doing that in practice, I think they can do it in the game. And that, you know, it doesn't change the fact that they're a little bit nervous. You know, we played Jathan at right back and it was his first time playing at the stadium. You know, and although there was no fans at the stadium, he's still a little nervous. You know, at one point he went to receive a ball and he was off the field by a yard and a half. You know, he didn't even realize the field ended. So, I mean, these are the things, you know, that are going to happen. You know, young players get nervous. But the bottom line is he's earned that opportunity by, you know, by playing well every day and by playing hard every day. And so has, you know, Juan Castilla and Danny Rios and Kieran Sargent and, you know, and Joyner. And, you know, so the guys are, you know, the guys are earning the opportunity to play.
And these are incredible moments because, I mean, I just look at some of these young guys that were out there. I saw you pull one of the players over and start speaking to them. And it's gold. It's golden moments of accelerating their development. Even if maybe it was only 15 minutes playing, it is a big deal in climbing that ladder.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Glenn, I depend on results every week. So, you know, but I think we still have to do it the right way. We still have to plant some seeds for the future of the club, regardless of what happens this Saturday or the Saturday after that. So, you know, if we can do both, I feel like we're doing the best job we can do. And I think at this point, we are trying to do those things.
Tab, outside of the competition, with the different roster, how different is this preseason from last year, you know, barring COVID and everything else that occurred?
Well, we're just kind of hoping that everything goes according to plan, you know, because you just, you know, now I think we're all as humans in general, we're all prepared for somebody to say, oh, it's shut down now. And now we stop, you know, so you kind of, every day you come into training, you kind of looking around, hoping that this continues and that we are on our way to, you know, to our first game on April 16th and then our second game on April 24th and on and on, you know. So the plan is still that, but, you know, every day, you know, we come in hopeful that it doesn't change.
All right, quick word before we let you go on a couple of players. How is Mateo Bahamic adjusted to everything, you know, getting moved in here in Houston, training? How do you feel he's adjusting?
Yeah, Mateo seems happy. You know, he seems like he's adapted to Houston and Houston life so far. The other day, I thought he had a couple of special moments where, you know, at least on the defensive side of the ball, he picked up a couple of our, you know, pressing triggers, you know, so the ball went to one of the center backs and he went and I thought he's really understanding the concepts of how we want to play. And so, yeah, I'm happy he's coming along. Obviously, he's a young player. By no means are we, you know, resting the fate of our team on Mateo, but hopefully he'll be able to help this year.
Maxi Arruti, and I know you and I have talked about him, and we had Maxi on the program. And he was a really, really interesting interview. And the minute you're interviewing him, you realize this guy is a full-blown pro, you know, the whole Argentina connection. It kind of comes through in the way he talks. But he offered some real interesting possibilities because of his ability, as you mentioned prior in this interview, to be able to come back into midfield and pick a ball up in deeper areas. It seems pretty exciting. And it seems to me it's not the kind of guy that center backs would want to play off of with his movement.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I think his movement is really incredible. You know, he has great timing on his runs. He makes excellent diagonal runs. When he comes back to receive, he almost never loses the ball. And his finishing is excellent. You know, and that kind of surprised me a little bit because having watched him in the past and having been a big fan of Arruti, and even when I arrived at the club, it was a player that I mentioned to the club that I was really interested in. I knew that for some reason, I thought my perception was that, okay, he's not an excellent finisher, but he gets there every time because he does so much work for the team and he presses really well. But now I get to see him every day, and I think he is an excellent finisher. So I'm looking forward to him getting quite a few goals this year.
All right, before I let you go, just a open statement. You know, what are you expecting out of this second game tomorrow? Is it more of the same?
No, I think it's more of the same. I think it's getting guys a little bit more time. Obviously, continuing to gel as a unit and for guys to get to know each other and the runs that they make and how they support each other. And obviously figuring out exactly, you know, how we press and all the guys being on the same page. That's all important, and that all comes with time. So, yeah, I think tomorrow will be another step, and just looking forward to it.
Tab, thank you so much for coming on. As always, we appreciate it. And some great insight ahead of tomorrow's game against USL Tulsa, Dynamo's second preseason game, as we roll on towards April 16th, the overall opener in Major League Soccer. By the way, that's a pretty cool thing to be playing in the overall opening game with all the eyeballs in MLS, Tab. Any thoughts on that before I let you go?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by that, to be honest, you know, that we get an opportunity to do that. I think we're all really excited about that part.
Thank you for being on the show, as always, Tab.
Thank you.
All right, that's Tab Ramos. We'll take a break. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
To be honest, it's not a difficult pitch. You know, you just say Miami and they're like, okay. So no, that's one of the things that I always, you know, when I obviously got to choose the city and when I chose Miami, there was a couple of reasons why I chose it. You know, obviously it's a great city. I feel that we have got a great fan base, but I also understand that there's great talent in Miami and South Florida, and I think that we have a real opportunity. And Miami as a city has that pull on players that have been playing in Europe that are, you know, are big stars. You know, we've proved that already with Blaise and with Gonzalo. So Miami's a great city for families to live. So, you know, there was always going to be talk about, you know, when we announced Miami, there was always going to be talk about what players we were going to bring in, whether it was Ronaldo, whether it was Messi, whether it was Neymar, whoever it was going to be. There was always going to be those discussions. But I actually don't think it's tough. It's a tough one for players to decide, to be honest, because it's a great place.
All right. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. That was David Beckham talking about Miami, responding to a question from Taylor Twellman of ESPN on, and Taylor's question was basically, how do you sell people on Miami? And obviously, David Beckham does not have to do a lot of selling of Miami. It's not a hard sell, because I think if it's Messi, Ronaldo, these types of players that are coming to Major League Soccer, they're looking at Los Angeles, New York, and Miami, high-profile markets. All right, two high-profile guys are going to join me now here on Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're going to do a deep dive with some of the TV personalities of the Houston Dynamo, and we'll talk Dynamo here this segment. Of course, my partner for 10 years, probably not the number one thing he puts on his resume. He's Eddie Robinson and Alex Parra, who leads up Teleexitos and the Spanish language coverage, also a longtime friend of mine. Gentlemen, good evening.
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good. Alex, how are you? Eddie?
I'm fine, gentlemen. Buenas tardes. Good evening. It's great to talk to you. Thank you for having me on.
Listen, guys, come on. You're TV guys. You're supposed to talk. We had a lot of dead air there, okay? This is radio. This is radio. You guys got to get this stuff right, all right? Somebody's in their car right now.
Each other. We have enough respect for each other, Glenn, that we don't want to step on each other's toes. So you got to give us a cue.
All right. Let me do my job here. All right, we're going to start it off. We're going to rip through a bunch of different topics, guys. The first one I want to hit you with.
Go for it.
Number one, and we'll, Alex, since Eddie's been on the show a lot, we'll let you start it off here. But the question's going to be basically, what sort of stirring of the pot do you think Austin FC is going to bring to the state of Texas now? We have three Major League Soccer teams with the Dynamo and FC Dallas. Go, Alex.
Great question. Look, I think it's excitement for all of us. All of us that have been around the Texas soccer scene for a while, I think are looking forward to it. Austin is a vibrant, up-and-coming city, if you will. Maybe they're already here. So that energy in and of itself makes Houston have to stand up. So the Dallas-Houston rivalry, I like. I think adding Austin to it definitely is going to take it to another level of interest and of passion.
Mr. Eddie Robinson?
Well, listen, I mean, I think that if you're Matt Jordan and John Walker, one of the things you have to look at immediately is how much demand there is for tickets there in Austin right off the bat. And just kind of the public demand for Austin FC versus where the Houston Dynamo are right now and the, you know, criticism that the Dynamo have taken over the last few years about the way that they've treated their fans, the, you know, the lack of the fan base, the drop off in season ticket holders. There's going to be comparisons. It's inevitable. It's Texas. They're a few hours from us. People are going to make comparisons. Mm-hmm. So if you're the Houston Dynamo, that's one of the things you got to worry about. Of course, you're going to worry about on the field. They're going to be a direct competitor getting in the playoffs every year, but you've got to look at public perception. What is the perception of the club within its individual community, given the size of Houston versus the smaller size of Austin, and what kind of demand there is right now for season tickets and what the fan base looks like?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And by the way, that's the before I let you get in, Alex, just one thing. This is the first ever professional team in Austin, Texas. Go, Alex.
Correct. And competing against UT Athletics, we know, can be difficult in Austin. I will add one thing to Eddie, and I think he's got a good point. This now is not only the fan base. Door-to-door from West Houston, it's 2 hours to Austin. People will have that drive and go support that team. But also the youth players will go over there and be part of their academy. So it's definitely something that's going to force all the clubs in Texas to raise their level.
Very good point. They can draw from all of Central Texas. And listen, like Manchester United is destination, well, you don't have to fly across the Atlantic. You can go to a sold-out stadium up there. So I think hopefully for us here in Houston with the Dynamo and FC Dallas, all boats will rise with the tide. All right, guys, we're talking to Alex Parra and Eddie Robinson. Alex leads up Telexitos, the Spanish-language coverage with Daniela Rodriguez, Gustavo Rangel, and Enrique Vasquez. Man, you got a power-packed team there, Alex. You got four people on that team.
You know what, Glenn? I tell you, the talent, and not only talking behind the microphone, behind the camera, in front of the camera that we have for this, has been a long time coming. We have been putting this team together literally for a decade, and we're very proud of everyone on the show. Enrique, Daniela, Gustavo, they're awesome. I'm just along for the ride and enjoying it. So we're blessed.
Yeah, a lot of great people, Glenn, there, and Gustavo has been on this show before. Yeah,
Glenn, if we didn't have Cindy Barbano on our side, they'd be outclassing us in the looks department too.
Well, I was just going to say, don't you dare go after Cindy Barbano for your broadcast, Alex. Okay, or you're going to have I'll send Eddie to your house with a baseball bat. All right,
that's the limit. I get it.
That's probably something you can't say on the radio. I'm going to send somebody to your house for baseball. But I'm from New Jersey. What can I say? Let's keep this going here. Biggest off-season signing, Eddie?
It's got to be Tim Parker. I mean, without question. I think, and I won't say without question. I think he edges out Joe Corona slightly, simply because I think the center back position is what the Dynamo needed most. And that's what Tim Parker brings. They both, Joe and Tim, both bring the leadership quality that I think was also needed with the Dynamo. I spoke to Dominic Kinnear a couple weeks ago, and he spoke so highly of Joe Corona and what he's going to bring, not just on the field, but the locker room. But Tim Parker, for me, his quality as a defender, as a leader, not just verbally, but the example that he will set for the other players on the Dynamo of how to win games, how to be a winner, how to fight, especially when it comes to playing against Austin and FC Dallas. I think, for me, Tim Parker.
Alex?
Yeah, and Eddie, I can't disagree with that. He had me. Tim Parker, without a doubt. Joe Corona brings in, obviously, his experience. Both of them, I use the word professional in the sense of they lead by example. They've got the resume. They've got the curriculum. They've got the experience. And I think that in and of itself lends the word I use is credibility, not only to the team, which is a team that needs it going into the season, but certainly for all of those around the team that Todd Ramos has put together. No signings officially, but I'm also excited. And I was listening to the interview with Coach earlier, Glenn, by the way, congratulations. His use of youth in the academy is something to start watching because I think that's a huge piece that's going to elevate the team long term.
Well, that's something that's never even been here under any other coach in the past, yeah. Really, is that sort of integration. It's symbolic in a lot of ways. There's a long way to go there, no question. Okay, guys, I want to take you into the midfield because I think that is the biggest piece right now. Who are your three midfielders starting for the Houston Dynamo?
Wow.
Eddie. I had to come. I mean, I've been loving you guys. I've been loving you guys softball, so I had to come up with something.
I'll jump in. I think Memo Rodriguez for sure. I think Memo has shown his value and shown his quality, and he's really had to fight. In the years that I think there was less quality in front of him, he still had to fight to get the minutes. I think Joe Corona has got to be in there, and then Matias Vera for me, who has been fantastic as a defensive midfielder, and that's something the Dynamo have always needed, given the fact the Dynamo commits so much to going forward on the wings, especially with the outside backs. There has to be a holding midfielder that sits in front of the center backs to prevent the counterattack. So for me, it would be Memo Rodriguez to Joe Corona and Matias Vera.
Alex.
I agree with Eddie as far as Memo Rodriguez. I think he's certainly now needs to take a hold more, if you will, of his position. Joe Corona, without a doubt, we mentioned him as one of the impact players signed in the off season, and maybe Picol to me might be somebody that is interchanged with Vera. So maybe to me that would be the only change or slide modification if we're limited to three in the midfield.
All right, guys, I think you're both absolutely insane. Memo Corona and Vera does not bring enough power and strength to a midfield that has to go up against the likes of the Alex Rings in Major League Soccer. There has to be more steel in there. By the way, you guys both omitted Darwin Quintero because he's not going to play along the top three players in a 4-3-3. So that's
Glenn, in the past, when he plays on the left wing,
I know what you're going to say.
On the left wing. He comes underneath. He comes underneath and he creates all kinds of trouble for the midfield and the center back to the opponent.
But Eddie,
I love.
But Eddie, Tab Ramos has brought in a whole bunch of wide men. He didn't bring them to sit in on the bench. And he's also alluded in a lot of interviews Darwin Quintero is going to play in the 10.
But who did he bring in that's going to do better out there than Darwin Quintero? Mateo Bajamich?
Tyler
Pasher? Who's been playing in the second division in Argentina? Tyler Pasher, who's a USL star. I mean, these guys aren't MLS quality yet. They've got to prove it.
Well,
until
I
they
think
do,
that's what's
I'm not
yeah, that'll prove
it.
Out.
I'm not
that'll,
buying.
That'll
it.
Have to be proved out. But you also have to remember, hold on. But I got to say one thing. Tab has alluded to Darwin Quintero in the 10. So if you guys can sit with me for another 10-minute segment, can you guys sit through the commercial break?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
You guys good? Okay, let's keep this going because this is real. This is the type of conversation about this team that nobody does in Houston. Nobody does. And we've got three guys here who can talk about this. When I come back, we'll continue to talk about the Dynamo balance in midfield. You think about it out there at 713-780-3776. There's also an X factor there that we haven't considered, and that's Derek Jones. Okay, we'll take a break here. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Also, a big thank you to Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture on Fondren. We'll take a break. More from Alex Parra and more from Eddie Robinson when we return.
ESPN 97.5. Paid for by Labyrinth Labs.